So welcome, David, and glad to have you here to do this interview here in my lounge room, which is located at Christie Walk, which is located in the beautiful unceded Kaurna lands.
Yeah.
Dr. David Faber, would you like to give a little bit of a rundown about the things that you do and introduce yourself?
I'm a historian. I do history of the places where I've lived, Tasmania, Adelaide, Milan, Italy, Italian political migration to Australia in the fascist era. I've done some colonial constitutional history here in Adelaide, and I've had an article published in Hobart about an 1829 murder of an Aboriginal woman.
Ah.
So I kick quite a few irons in the fire.
How do you pick what you talk about or what you investigate?
Well, one topic, the political migration topic, I've been working on for 40 years. With other topics, it's principally a matter of seeing what opportunities there are to publish.
Mm.
And once one of my issues comes up for me with one of those prospects, that's when I put some work into it.
So today, what you're talking about is more or less on a humanitarian issue?
Well, it actually started for me before it started for the world, in that I wrote some history about the greatest suspension of civil liberties in Australia, which was wartime ethnic internment of enemy aliens on suspicion that they might be loyal to their governments. No one was ever prosecuted for anything. And I wrote an article about it and had it published. And at the end of the article, because I always focus a bit on what the takeaway is for the present and the future from history, I predicted that we wouldn't see mass internment again, but I did predict, because it had already happened, that we would see persecution of iconic individuals who were politically on the nose to the powers that be. And that's just exactly what's happened with the Assange issue.
How do you mean?
Oh, the persecution of him.
Yeah, well, internment of people.
Well, they're political internments.
Yeah.
Although governments usually deny that political prisoners are political prisoners, the British government denies and the American government denies, and possibly even the Australian government, that he is a political prisoner. But I think to people of goodwill and reasonable intelligence, it's perfectly clear that he's a political prisoner.
He wouldn't be a prisoner in any way because of his ethnicity, would he?
No.
Whereas the people who
were interned in war, they were
interned
for being Italian or Japanese or Australians. Yes.
Yeah, but political all the same.
Yes.
Mm. So, how did you first find out about his what he was doing and the repercussions?
Well, it's been running for so long and he's been in prison for so long that I find that hard to remember.
Okay.
But from the beginning, pretty much, I was aware that he was being persecuted because of his journalism and his involvement in the collateral murder affair, where he exposed the behaviour of American helicopter gunships with respect to civilian journalists on the ground.
How did he get hold of that information?
There must have been a cameraman in it who fed him the information, and that's exactly what he's charged with now. He's charged with having, as far as the Americans are concerned, with having elicited information that was given to him. In fact, he didn't. Someone decided that he should have it and just sent it. And that's pretty typical of the way the prosecution is being mismanaged, that they just take facts and turn them inside out and then claim he's guilty of that.
So if they move him back to America, as I understand it, they can then call it treason?
Yes.
How?
Well, again, it's another interested leap of faith. They regard any opposition as treason, and he's an opponent, therefore it's treason. But in fact, my first reaction to that charge was, who's he supposed to have betrayed? He's not betrayed Australia under Australian law. It's entirely dubious that he's broken British or American law. But when governments go after someone, and Assange predicted they would chase him to the ends of the earth when the affair first came out, they don't regard niceties.
Do you have a prediction on what will happen?
No, no. I think it's all in the hands of the people now. If people rally to the cause, not necessarily to Julian himself, but if they rally to the cause of civil liberty and justice, and make it known to the powers that be that there is a public out here which is concerned and very concerned, that may tip the balance. So as it's in the balance, I can't really, as a historian, make a prediction.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because journalists all say that they should be very afraid of what happens.
Yes, there's many journalists saying that. Some journalists are saying, for quite benighted reasons, that he's not a journalist himself. I think he is, for what my opinion's worth. He's a purveyor of information. He seems to have a high regard for the truth. And in many other ways, I think he's behaving like a journalist, or behaved like a journalist.
So what would you like to see happen?
I'd like to see him released with no charges and allowed to return to Australia as a safe haven.
As his country of origin?
It is his country of origin. I don't know how he feels about us now, given the neglect of the case that Australian governments have shown, but the current Prime Minister, Mr. Albanese, has said that he's suffered enough. So whatever you think about what he might have done and however you interpret it, enough's enough. The government implies that it's working behind the scenes to bring that understanding into effect, but if they're working behind the scenes, they're working very behind the scenes, very quietly. And there's some concern amongst people who understand the problem that they might not be working hard enough.
What do they have to do? What are they working at? What's the procedure?
They don't need to be doing foghorn diplomacy. They don't need to be screaming in every press conference that he's got to be released. They need, through the diplomatic service, to be making diplomatic but effective and forceful statements that he is to be released. Because if he were not released, if the persecution and the prosecution was to continue, that would be scandalous and a discredit to the United States, British justice, and Australia. He's got the best of British justice, just like Ned Kelly. Ned's trial was a travesty as well.
Yes.
And he didn't appeal because he didn't have the money. They tried to appeal the Kelly family, but they didn't have the cash.
I like that. That's our current Ned Kelly.
He is our current Ned Kelly. Yes, he's not out there with revolvers and shotguns. He's out there in the battle of ideas, and his ammunition is information.
So if more people have access to the information and unite in this, this government might listen.
This government might listen. I think it's a much more reasonable government than the ones we had in the previous decade. Julian truly believes that the peace will set us free, that the more decent information we have circulating around, the more the future of humanity and the quality of life will be better. He might even be naive about that. I don't know.
hope he's right.
I hope he's right, because if you're going to be pessimistic about such things, you shut up shop, and I think you die psychologically fairly quickly.
Yeah.